Open your Bibles with me this morning, if you will, the book of Luke. Luke, the 16th chapter. I know you know this story. I've used it on numerous occasions as a text, but it's one of those that I think is really important. You've probably heard the phrase over the years, the statement that someone has made, and I don't know where it came from originally, that familiarity breeds contempt. I think sometimes that's true of Scripture too. There are some stories, some passages that we have heard so often that we know so well that we often take them for granted. The 23rd Psalm, John 3:16, are examples that come to my mind that we know those passages and we know them so well that sometimes as preachers or as teachers we almost hesitate to teach on them or use them as text because we feel like everybody's already said everything there is to say. This is one of those stories that is kind of that way we've talked about it. It's one that's familiar, and so sometimes we almost take it for granted. We forget about it or we shy away from it because we feel like, what can I say new about this particular story? It deals with, it answers one of the questions that I think I have to have dealt with over the years as much as anything. Probably one of the most common questions that I deal with in one of two forms, really, are those who will come to me and say something to the effect of, is heaven real? And when I answer yes, then, well, what do you think's going on? What's going on in heaven? What are folks doing in heaven? What are they doing right now? Those that have already passed away, what are they doing? The other side of that question, that sometimes they go together, sometimes they come separate, is do you believe in a literal hell? And my answer is yes. And then the question comes, what do you think is going on there? What do you think, what is hell like? What's going on? Believe it or not, some of you may think, well, that's a pretty obvious answer if you've been raised in church all your life, but you might be surprised to find out how many even who claim to be Christian, who call themselves Christian, have a different viewpoint of hell than you do. One of the most common viewpoints that have been that is being kind of batted around today and has caused quite a stir in the church are those who don't believe that hell is eternal, who believe that eventually you get out some way. So the question this morning that God has laid on my heart to deal with, out of, again, this story of the rich man and Lazarus that most of you are probably familiar with, is to deal with that question. What is going on in hell? What is hell like? What's happening in hell? Most of you probably know the story, and I'm going to kind of just go over part of it quickly to get to where I really think God wants us to focus this morning. And the story is very simple. It's a story that Jesus tells of two men. Of those two men, he says one of them was a rich man who had pretty much everything that he could ever desire, everything that he could ever hope for. And the other was a poor man by the name of Lazarus, who laid outside of his gate. Long story short, eventually they both die. And the rich man, he dies and he goes to hell. Lazarus goes to heaven. And that's really where I want to pick up the story this morning, is in verse 23 of chapter 16, where the Bible tells us that this rich man, he opens up his eyes and realizes that he is in hell. Before I move on to tell you, like I told the first service this morning, I'll let you know when I'm preaching. This is mostly introduction, okay? I really only got one point this morning, even though there's several on your bullets, and I've got one thing that God has really kind of spoke to me about this week and impressed on me. It just takes me a little bit to get there. I heard E.V. Hill one time say, I don't know if you ever met E.V. Hill or saw him on TV. But Dr. Hill, he's a pretty big old fella. And he said, you know, he said, these little airplanes, he said, you know, they just jet in and out of anywhere. He said, but us big old jets takes us a long runway to get started. And so that's kind of where I am. It's going to take me a while to get there. So hang on. First thing we've got to deal with is this story in general. What exactly is the nature of this story? There are those who tell and believe that this particular story is a parable. Now, I don't know how familiar you are with parables, but Jesus told a lot of parables and told a lot of stories, and someone has described them as earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. In other words, he would tell a story, and it would be about things that everybody understood, and so that he could get a point across of a higher nature, that he could bring that point home through that story. Well, some have said that they believe that this particular story is a parable. Well, there's several problems with that mindset. One of them is that Jesus never says, "I'll tell you a parable," which he often did before he shared a parable. Second thing is, if you look at the beginning of this story, he says there was a certain rich man. And he says there was a man named Lazarus. And so if there never was really a man named Lazarus, then Jesus is a liar and everything else falls apart from there. Thirdly, let's presume for a moment and let's just go along and say, okay, this is a parable. And he told this story to teach a lesson. Well, even if we do accept that, then what's the lesson of the parable? The lesson of the parable is still that there is a hell, that there is eternal judgment for those who reject Christ. And so either way we go, we come back to the same point of this story is about hell and what's going on in this place called hell. And in verse 23, we begin to pick up there about the story of this rich man. And we learn from this passage more really than in any other passage in the Bible about hell. We really learn more about hell in this particular story than in many ways we would if we took all the other Bible passages together and read them about hell. Because we have here the opportunity to be an eavesdropper, if you will, an eyewitness to one man's experience in hell, to one man's what he dealt with and what he says about this place that we know as hell. One of the first things that we learn about this place is very simply, it's a place of pain. He says in that place, in this verse, he says that the rich man, he lifts up his eyes and he is in torments. Now, I don't know about you, but in all honesty, I can probably count on one hand the number of times I've ever used the word torment. I just don't think that often of being tormented. I've had pain, I've had problems, I've had sickness, those kind of things. But to say that, to use this word torment, that's a pretty strong word. And so the first thing we understand about hell is it is a place of pain. One of the things that has come about, and it's been for a while now, it's not a new thing, but occasionally you'll hear somebody say, I don't care if I go to hell, big deal. That's where all my friends will be. You hear people, there's songs made along those lines that about going to hell. And you hear that pretty often about people saying that. As you think about that, I've learned one thing about most people. They don't like pain. I've learned that, really quick. I don't, I used to know a guy who said his mama would tell him all the time, say, if you can't listen, you've got to feel. Some of you grew up in that environment. Some of you may not, but most of us grew up in that kind of environment. If you can't listen, you got to feel. And so this rich man says that he was in torments. And so the first thing we learn about hell is it's a place of pain. What's going on in hell? Unimaginable suffering. I don't know how many of you have ever had the misfortune of in any way touching a hot burner, touching a hot pan, One of the most common things that probably most of us have experienced, and I don't know why we're no smarter than this. I've talked about it before. You go into a Mexican restaurant, they'll bring out a plate, smoke rolling off of it, you hear it sizzling, they'll set it down and go, hot plate. And somebody invariably will touch that plate. It's hot! But generally they don't look at it wrong. Hot is just not something that we like. I don't know. One of the things that I can remember my father smoked cigarettes, and more than once, I had the misfortune of bumping up against him one way or another. One of his cigarettes. You're talking about just a small spot like that. I tell you what you do. The next time somebody says, "I don't mind, I don't care if I go to hell," what every Christian ought to do is carry around a book of matches or a cigarette lighter, and the next time you hear somebody say, "Well, I don't really care if I go to hell," pull out your match, strike it, and stick it to them. And when they "What are you there for?" "So I just checking. Just checking. Just checking. Listen, hell is a place of torment, it says. It's a place of pain. All kinds of pain. And to be very honest with you, I'm not sure that when we consider everything we know about hell, that the fire is the worst part. And we're going to talk about some of that this morning. I'm not sure that even the fire is the worst part. As a matter of fact, there are some who believe today that hell actually doesn't, that it is not fire. But that was the worst thing that man could think of to describe pain. If you stop and think, I can't think of any worse way to be hurt. I can't think of anything worse to have happen to me than to be burnt. But there are those who say that hell is far even worse. But the worst thing man could think of, the worst term he could use to describe it, was to use the phrase a lake of fire. Now, I personally do believe that the Bible says it's fire. It's fire. But I'm in that boat. I can't think of anything any worse than a lake of fire. It's a place of pain. Not only is there pain, he describes, but there is pleading. There is pleading. When you look in this verse, he says that he's standing there and he says, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me." I remember many years ago, and many of you probably know the name, but I remember many years ago, back in the 70s, in fact, and I may even still have it if I dig it out somewhere, but Garland Fall had recorded a sermon on hell on an album. Now, I know some of you in here, Danny, you know what an album is? Okay. That was like a big CD. She's got Elvis. Oh, she's got Elvis. Okay. Okay. Album. That's like a big CD for some of you. But he talks about how and I don't even know his history, but at one time he was in the tire business and all. And he talks about how a man come into the store and was all tore up and shook up. And as he told the story, he was a truck driver. And said, in coming down the mountain, he'd come across a truck that had run up onto the emergency offside there where they. And so when he did, the truck had kind of collapsed and trapped him in the truck. And the fuel began to leak, and it was beginning to smoke and beginning to catch on fire, and he was crying out to be rescued and crying out for help. And we're over there trying to get him out of the truck and trying to help him, but his leg stuck. And so finally the man began, as the fires began to grow, finally the man begins to cry, "Just cut my leg off!" So they finally, after realizing they didn't have my, so they finally took out the knife and began to try to cut. And so they got down to the bone and couldn't cut it, couldn't break it. And finally the fire got so big they had to back off and leave him there and listen to him scream for mercy. Remember the story of a DEA agent who talks about being involved with a plane crash and hearing the people crying for mercy. I don't know about you, but most of us, to me, one of the worst things about hell would be to stand in a place and hear all those around you cry for mercy. I don't know if you've ever been around a car wreck or been around, even for those of you who are parents, to hear your child cry out when they're sick, when they're hurt. Can you imagine spending eternity listening to those cry out for just a drop of water? There's pain. There's pleading. Third thing I see in this is there is profanity. They're in torments. Remember this, folks. Hell is a place absent of all that is good, of all that is righteous. I hear people say, I don't mind if I go to hell because if I do, all my friends will be there. I want to break something to you. I believe where there's an absence of good, an absence of God, there won't be any friends. In fact, here's what I'm going to submit to you this morning. You're sitting in a church hearing about hell, hearing the gospel preached, hearing it sung. If you end up in hell, your friends are not going to be your friends. They're going to be your enemies because they're going to be cursing you for eternity, wanting you to know why you didn't tell them about a place like that. There is profanity. There is pain. There is pleading. One of the worst things I can think of at all about hell is there is the past. There's one word in this story that just really, to me, sums up and describes the ultimate horror of hell more than fire, more than anything else, when he says, son, remember. There are a lot of things that will not be in hell, but one that will be your memory. I believe there are people this morning who are in hell who are remembering every tear their mother ever shed, who are remembering every prayer they ever heard, who are replaying like a broken record over and over every sermon they've ever heard, every Sunday school lesson they've ever heard. They're remembering every Bible school class they ever sat in and heard some godly man, woman telling them about the love of Jesus Christ. They're remembering every time the pastor prayed. They're remembering every time they looked out their door and saw somebody from the church coming down the driveway and knocking on their door, and they ran and hid or slammed the door in their face. They're remembering every opportunity that they had. They're looking around, and folks, one of the things that tears me up to think about this memory is folks talking about how, well, I'll be there, my friends will be there. There are mothers and daddies who are standing in hell today, and their children are gathered around them saying, why did you tell me about the Easter Bunny? Why did you tell me about Santa Claus? Why did you tell me about baseball? Why did you tell me about football? And you never told me about this place. Their memory, over and over, every prayer, every article, every television show, every sermon on a loop for eternity. And remember their past. The thing I want you to hear this morning is the one that has stuck in my heart as I studied this passage over the last few weeks. Is in hell this morning, there's prayer. The rich man looks up. And he says, I pray you that you would send him to my father's house. What's he talking about? If you back up a few verses, he says in this passage, he says, I've got five brothers. And he says, I don't want them to come to this awful place. And I'm praying, please, send someone to tell them. Folks, can I tell you this morning, there are two prayers that are being uttered in hell this morning. Two prayers that are being uttered. Have been for eternity, will be. There are those this morning who are praying for their sons, their daughters, their grandchildren, their neighbors, praying, oh God, touch them. Speak to their heart, so that they'll come to know Jesus, so they don't come to this horrible place. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, let me tell you something. There are people in hell this morning who will pray that you would accept Christ today. So I'm going to say something that might upset some Baptists. There's more praying going on in hell than there is in the Baptist church. There's more concern over lost souls in hell this morning than there is in the church. One pastor many years ago said that the first thing ought to happen to a Christian is immediately after being saved, he ought to be taken and dangled over hell for 15 seconds. And when his feet hit the ground, he'd never be the same. See, there's someone, if you don't know Christ this morning, there are people praying for their friends, praying for their loved ones, praying for their neighbors. Listen, I believe with all my heart, because of the torment of hell, they're praying for total strangers. They're praying, Lord, don't let anybody come to this horrible place. But the second thing I noticed that he's praying, he says, Lord, send somebody. Send somebody. You know what Jesus says? How will they hear without a preacher? How will they hear without somebody to tell them? Do you know this morning that people in hell are praying that the church, that you and I, would tell somebody about Jesus? People in hell are praying that. People in hell are praying that we would get serious about the business of telling people about Jesus Christ. I'm telling you this morning, when I think about this and I look at what's being said here, the Bible tells us really clearly that the people in hell are more concerned about lost souls than you and I are, than the church is. That they're praying that you and I would quit being content to just tell them about Sunday school, or quit telling them about all the other things that are going on and telling them about hell. There's prayer in hell. I want to ask you to bow your heads for one moment this morning. And I didn't tell you anything, I don't think, that surprised anybody. I didn't say anything that requires a seminary education to understand. Just a really simple message. What's going on in hell? And this morning, I want to invite you, because if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you don't ask Him into your life, one day you're going to know firsthand. But I want you to know this morning, you'll go over the prayers of those in hell. People in hell this morning are praying that you would ask Jesus Christ into your heart. You're here today and you'd say, I know I am a Christian. I've already been saved. People in hell, I pray that you and I would tell our loved ones about Jesus. In just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And I want to invite Christians to come and to kneel at this altar and ask God to lay a name on your heart, to speak to you. Lord, I want to tell somebody about Jesus. Lord, people in hell are more concerned about souls than I've been. I'm not asking you this morning how many people have you led to Jesus. That's God's work. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But how many people have we told about Jesus? You say, I don't know what to tell. Well, just simply tell what He's done for you. People in hell are praying that somebody will go. Send me. But you're here this morning, you don't know Christ. Young or old, maybe been in church all your life, but you'd be honest and say, all these years, I don't really know Him. People in hell are praying that today you'd ask Jesus Christ into your heart. That today would be the day of salvation. Hell's real, folks. You don't have to go there. As we stand.